Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Ross Ulbricht is turning 34 today, and I just wanted to share a post from his family's account on steamit.com, which is where I saw this. I don't know where else I would have picked this up, because I doubt that the news media...
is not going to talk about Ross Ulbricht's birthday.
He's going to be talking about that. Ross Ulbricht, of course, for those that don't know, is what, Mark? Who is
that? Well, he's the guy who... I don't know what parts of this to say allegedly on, but he is the one who's accused of creating the Silk Road.
He admitted to creating the Silk Road in court.
The original online drug marketplace. Marketplace.
Yep, the world's first.
Yeah, but it was
underground.
Pretty much a drug marketplace.
Mostly.
And
there was some like computer hacking tools or something like that.
I saw some people. I was there. I saw some people selling purses and rugs. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things there. I don't know how many they sold.
But probably the super bulk of the products were drugs that would be considered illegal in many jurisdictions.
Yep. And so at some point or another, the feds got on to him, took him to court, had the closest thing that I've seen to a high-profile kangaroo trial in my more than a decade tenure on the radio, and he's been in jail for 5 years.
And he turns 34 today, according to the post at steamit.com, which is a social blogging cryptocurrency site. Very interesting. It's his fifth birthday that is spent in prison, serving a double life sentence for all nonviolent charges. I'm sorry, but the people like Ross Ulbricht who are in jail are not thugs. They are not violent. There's no proof that Ross ever raised a hand to another human being. And he's not the only one. We're not just talking about Ross because he's the one lone guy in federal prison who never hurt anybody else. There are plenty of people, whether it be, you know, individuals who were convicted of gambling operations or people who have drug convictions. These are all, as far as I'm concerned, innocent victims of the real criminals, which are the government.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to disagree with any of that. But I would point out that your statement that they're, you know, the slaves or whatever it is, I think really sort of glosses over the
reality. Yeah, if you charge somebody with some BS crap and then you get to go ahead and put them in to work for you, you've just gone ahead and made that person a slave. But you got all this, you know, window dressing around the process. So you have a court and you have men with badges and you've got men who write things on fancy pieces of paper. So therefore, it's not slavery when they do it. Right, Mark?
I don't think that that's the issue. I don't think it's they're getting people to work.
Are you in a classroom, by the way? I mean, you're raising your hand over there.
I'm trying to get a second to just make a statement. And we're coming up on the break.
You've had
the
more than half the time here. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to say that it's human warehousing, right? So this is a government make work program for prison guards and people who work with the prison industrial complex. Less so, they don't want the slave labor because inmates don't even work a full 8 hour day because they have to be watched by officers.
I worked 8 hours when I was in jail. There's I2P, which is one of the Tor competitors.
That's I didn't know this existed.
Anonymizing system. I think Silk Road 3 launched on I2P a while back. I think that one's gone, but there's probably other ones.
Silk Road 4 somewhere.
That are there. And yeah, I mean, they just keep on popping up. As long as there's a demand for drugs in society, those demands will be filled by people willing to take the risk to go to prison to fill them. But 40
I think that the demand for drugs
months.
Is probably going to remain quite high, considering that there is currently... At least there's a couple of theories, right? Like, so that abstract thought was created by the consumption of psilocybic mushrooms by ancestor primates.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that one. Second one.
I buy it.
Is that it's the production of beer caused people to settle down and created the agrarian revolution. 9,000 to 12,000 years ago, depending on exactly when or where.
So basically everybody just wants to alter their state of consciousness is what
well,
you're saying?
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look around, people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it just, that's just what they want to do. You may be able to modify what substances they consume to alter their consciousness, but it is unlikely, like highly unlikely.
Right.
Highly unlikely that you're going to alter the fact that they want to alter their consciousness. Sorry.
Initially, they had him in New York, and now you're checking Mark on
USP. It's Colorado. I don't know.
Florence, Colorado?
Yeah, so I know that the Supermax is in Colorado, but I don't know if this is...
USP may stand for Supermax? I don't know what USP stands for.
United States Prison. Penitentiary,
prison.
Excuse
okay.
me. Penitentiary. As though anyone in there is participating in penance.
Yeah. Not only, so they say here, our gift, because again, they can't go visit him today. Our gift to Ross is to keep fighting, not only for him.
It's named Florence High is its nickname. They all have nicknames, by the way. Mm. Every prison gets a nickname at some point or another.
Yours was Gladiator School.
Gladiator
right?
School. Isn't that fun?
Not only for, so again, they're going to keep fighting, not only for him, but to reform a system that is a blight on our nation. Please join us at FreeRoss.org. And indeed, we've been promoting FreeRoss.org for a long time.
It is right next to the Supermax prison.
So this is a probably a lower security federal prison next
door?
Sure.
I mean, they don't have anything to worry about from Ross. I mean, they and they know that.
They've probably got him in the communications management unit, would be my guess.
Teaching people to read some more?
No, communications management, meaning that any call or email or whatever, any piece of mail that he sends out is scanned and restricted if possible. Johnson, you brought in something that you specifically wanted to wait until Mark was on the show, and he wasn't on last week or whatever because he wasn't. I don't think you were back yet from Florida. Now you're here, so let's
it's a continuation
of
a conversation, like a little bit of an argument that we were all having.
You were really having it.
Two shows. Well, I always like to stoke the fires of your debates with Ian.
It's what we've signed up for. Basically, Ian and I have made a career out of arguing with each other.
It's true. And the worse the argument, the more the
likely that I call him a BAMF and
the memes might be generated. So I just to add fuel to that fire. I found this video and it just happened to be published right after we did that show. And I watched it. And I'm like, wow, this is super relevant to the discussion and moderately changed my opinion a little bit of where my stance on where that discussion was. But essentially, the discussion was about doing activism for freedom or towards freedom for other people. And I think, you know, this came about because Mark had said something along the lines to someone that, hey, man, just go make a bunch of money and move out of the country. If you want freedom for yourself, that's probably going to be the best way to do it. The average person, because this has been so indoctrinated into society, is going to say that sacrifice is a good thing. Right.
Sure.
But most people don't actually really engage in sacrifice. They talk about how they've engaged in sacrifices, but they really aren't. They really aren't engaging in sacrifice. They just have a certain priority of values. So, for example, if you, give up going to a movie because you're helping out your sister with, her homework or whatever, you're not really sacrificing. It's that you value your relationship with your sister more.
Yeah, it's all about the perspective, right?
Right.
So from somebody else's perspective, they might have chosen to do something different.
Right.
And so to them, it looks like a sacrifice. I mean, there's plenty of people that give money to, there was a GoFundMe for a friend of mine who had a pretty serious operation recently and gave some money to that. You know, that's money that I could have gone out to dinner with, right?
Right.
I could have gone to get a fancy dinner or something like that, but I gave it to her for the operation. Not to pat myself on the back here, but just giving an example of that's just a priority, you know, to help somebody else out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And some people see giving as a way to, you know, to receive in the long run. Not that there's some sort of calculation going on that you expect to receive, but that sort of, my observation has been that when you are generous, that it kind of comes back to you.
Yeah, at the very least, you're paying attention to generosity, right?
Yeah.
And then so you can be more grateful when you get good things. I think we are responsible for many years of saying, if you want freedom, New Hampshire's the place to come get it. And whereas I have come to the conclusion that if you want freedom, you need to decide what you want to be free of, you want to be free to do, and that the best way to find freedom is to go and do that. If your definition of freedom is arguing with politicians and bureaucrats and struggling and fighting,
that's not freedom. That's the path toward political change, and that's an ugly, awful, arduous path that thankfully some people, like our own Daryl W. Perry,
and you,
are willing. Well, Daryl's the one who does it full time. He does it for
you. Go with
Liberty
him
Lobby.
Often and videotape.
I go with him sometimes. I'll be going this week, but it's been several weeks.
I support Daryl financially in what he does because I want somebody out there doing what
great,
he does.
Man,
it's great.
That's great. If you don't want to do it yourself, it's nice that you're supporting the people who are doing it, because that speaks to the idea that you think that something's more important than kicking back with a mojito on a beach and looking out at the skyline. I mean, if that's what your vision is for your life, then by all means, go for it, man. Enjoy your time. Take whatever time you need for yourself. It is presumptuous for you to say what people have done. If there are 2,000 people who've moved here, I bet you couldn't name 200 of them, because you don't know them and I don't know them. So how dare you say that you know that they've been doing nothing? You don't know jack squat about what those people have done or not, have not done.
I can see the progress that's been made by the activists that are in this state over the course of 12 years.
Which is tremendous compared to the entire rest of the libertarian movement anywhere. If it's disappointing to you, then you just have a really piss poor perspective.
Well, look, what is disappointing to me is my opinion. What's disappointing to what's exciting to you is your opinion. And I'm giving my opinion.
No, what's exciting to me is libertarian
success.
Wait
a second. If I see the same amount of success that we've here had in New Hampshire compared to other states, which is they've had none, the same amount of success in the next 12 years when I am 60 years old and will have dedicated the lion's share of my adult life to this project, then I will be disappointed in double the amount of success that we currently have. Now,
well, that just shows your perspective is one of negativity.
Do I not owe that to my listeners to tell them how I will feel if I see that level of success?
Yeah, if you want to get on the air and whine, then that's certainly your business.
Yo, Mark, honestly, you need to simmer down there. Your face is getting really red. Starting to get a little mad there.
I'm
here in the studio destroying you.
That's an ethnic statement. I'm Irish, and my red face is brought on by good old fashioned.
Shut the hell up! You're a bitch.
I'll be your bitch. Come up here. Come up here and make me your bitch. Please do that.
All right.
What?
What's the address?
Tell you what. You give me a time and a place. Come to my jiu-jitsu studio.
All right, asshole.
All right, Abdul, let's just go on with past the insults. What was your call about tonight?
That's what it's about.
All right.
Here is about, let's face it, folks. We got a crisis here in modern day America.
What is the crisis?
People like Mark, flipping out, going to the store, buying an AR-15, letting all the anger out.
He is an angry man.
We got to get more laws on these guns.
My grandson was talking about my Facebook, and that is my password. So listen,
jeez.
I know that when you guys were doing the show, when he hung up, you thought he was a crank call.
Oh, it was so funny.
And I can assure you for sure that he was not doing a crank call. He was talking about my Facebook.
Okay, so I hope that you promptly went and changed your password. No, it doesn't work that way. This is talk radio. It doesn't. Hey, Grandma, what's your name?
My name is Mary, and I need you to go back and retract that or take that. I don't know what you need to do.
I got to tell you, I got to explain something to you, Mary. So we're doing a live talk radio show, and it's on the air on dozens of radio stations all across the United States right now.
Some around the world.
There is somebody in Nigeria who heard your password last night, because we're on in Africa.
I'm 84 years old, and I don't know how to do that.
So you ask your son.
Yeah, ask your grandson.
Ask your grandson.
Ask Otis.
How to change your password immediately so that you don't lose your account.
Headline of the video, a selfish argument for making the world a better place. Egoistic altruism. Here we go.
Until recently, the vast majority of the world population worked on farms, and the total production of the world's economy was mostly the total agricultural output. And this output was limited by the fixed size of the land. The total output of the economy did not change a lot year by year. Mm-hmm. The size of the pie was fixed. The world was a zero-sum game. In such a stagnating world, the only way to get better off is if someone else gets worse off.
If you take a bigger piece of the pie, someone else's gets smaller. If you want more food, then conquering, plundering, and stealing are great strategies. Your neighbor's loss is your gain. This was the state of things for thousands of years. Societies invaded each other constantly to get more pie. Economic inequality was extreme. Some had all the pie they wanted, while others had to live with the crumbs. Then the Industrial Revolution happened, and everything changed. We developed machinery, better crops, better
but did it though
fertilizers, agricultural.
Well, then the state began to exploit its citizens as quickly as it could.
From 1700 to 1870, the production of iron in Britain increased 137-fold. The Industrial Revolution led to a previously unimaginable increase in economic output. This altered the nature of our societies. Economic growth changed the world from a zero-sum game to a positive-sum game. We had found a way to create a bigger pie. But not only a bigger pie, but a pie that was growing bigger each year. More people could have more at the same time.
Yeah, and that's the celebration of human innovation and the ability to create new things with hopefully out asking, you know, without having to ask permission, without having to pay off a bunch of bureaucrats in order to do that. And of course, that is the way things are, where you do have to, at least in the United States and many other countries of the world, you have to grovel at the feet of the master in order
people who believe in collectivism, socialism, communism, that they still believe in the old model that it is a fixed pie when it's not.
It's definitely not. And the more freedom that we have, the faster that the pie can expand. Because as long as there are despots, as long as there are democratically elected people, as long as there are governments that are ruling over plots of land where people are trying to innovate and people are trying to create products and services, if there's always some bureaucrat standing in the way saying, and then holding out their hand and, you know, getting payments, that's money, that's resources, that's time that could otherwise be focused on productivity that is instead being focused on paying off bureaucrats, jumping through hoops, regulations, obedience, and all of that.
250 years ago, might have wanted some really good shoes. 150 years ago, maybe a bicycle. 80 years ago, a car. 30 years ago, cheap air travel. And so on. Once we get what we want, we don't stop. We can see how we can improve things even more and how to make things even better. The new positive sum world has existed for 0.1% of human history, and we have yet to get used to it.
Yeah, that's a good point, that this is still relatively new in the scheme of things, that maybe technology is advancing at a faster clip than people are really able to handle it.
Right.
And they're showing here on the screen, we haven't really talked about much about it. It's an animated thing, and it's very, very pretty, very nice, very colorful. On the screen here, there have been up until this point representations of wealth increasing and numbers of chickens and plants and buildings you know, growing larger and more numerous. And then now they're showing somebody just kind of sitting on the couch with a bag of chips watching their computer monitor, suggesting that they have not yet gotten used to it. And maybe that has something to say to the Twitch audience. I don't know. Over at twitch.lrn.fm. But yeah, I mean, are we advancing too fast? Is society going to catch up to the technology here?
Is society going to catch up to the technology? The evidence to that?
Are we getting buried in it? Is it, you know, is it taking away
our
connections?
Or will AI,
right?
That's singularity, end it all? If I were 14 again, I would be doing nothing but learning how to program and, like, writing some sort of app.
Right on.
Instead,
like, there's, like, you know, when you have that amount of time, you have nothing but the ability to pick up skills these days on your own that will make you a millionaire.
Instead of, you know, looking at memes on the internet and talking about how you're dead inside.
I mean, you can do both.
You can definitely do both. I did plenty of both.
Right. So, but I think there is some truth to the idea that they're not necessarily raised wrong or whatever. It's just bored teenagers. I mean, come on. Who, we were growing up in the 80s and the 90s. Who didn't make a crank phone call to somebody?
I probably didn't.
You never called somebody like, is your refrigerator running?
No, but that's funny.
No. Johnson, did you ever make some crank phone calls?
Not really. I'm not very good at it. I don't have much of an ice face.
Let me tell you, most teenagers aren't very good at it. Okay, we've heard a bunch of them and how bad they are at it when they call our show. But, you know, it's easier to call Free Talk Live than it is to just pick a random name out of a phone book. I mean, probably teenagers today don't even know what a phone book is. because phone books are basically dead. I mean, they're not even really a thing anymore. They still sort of exist, but they're just barely hanging on. They're having a tough time selling
advertisements.com.
Well, right, that exists, but I mean, the back in the old days, you'd grab the phone book and select a name from it and just do a crank call on somebody because you're a bored teenager.
That $20 that you can get from washing somebody's car next door, go around, knock on doors.
Yeah,
and tell your parents where you're going. Knock on doors and ask people if they want their car washed for $20, or I don't know. I really don't know what the going price is
for a car wash.
Yeah, I can pay $15 for the works at the local sort of drive-through gas station car wash. Yeah. So I would presume that somewhere between $10 and $15 is probably a reasonable price just for the wash. Wax, you're talking about probably $30 or $40.
Better know what you're doing, too.
Yeah, well that's going to take some practice.
Yeah.
Practice on mom and dad's car.
Wax on, wax off. So, but yeah, it does come from within.
They've got better waxes than Karate Kid had, okay?
Don't use the abrasive side of a sponge. I'll tell you that from experience, unfortunately.
And again, the wax on, wax off joke probably went over the heads of some of the younger listeners of the show who might not have seen Karate Kid, which is what that is a reference from. But anyway, entrepreneurial spirit has to come from within, but it also has to be something that is, I think, cultivated to some extent. Because if you cultivate the opposite, which is what the government education system is doing, then you're cultivating complacency.
I want to share with you an experience that happened to me about 3 hours ago.
Okay, sure.
I walked down to my corner liquor store to pick up a 12-pack of beer.
Because what else are you doing, right?
Better to walk there than... Go ahead.
And while I'm standing in line, and while I got up to the register, I'm talking to the gentleman that's running the register, and I was talking about this March for Our Lives stuff.
Was this the thing that happened over the weekend, the anti-gun march?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Anyhow, while I'm talking to him about this and telling him about these crazy SOBs out there trying to get rid of our Second Amendment right, and how I will, you know, I value my Second Amendment right and my concealed weapons permit, and I'll stand behind it until the day I die, somebody taps me on the shoulder from behind. He said, and I hear this gentleman say, "Believe it or not, 99.9% of us believe the same way you do." And I turned around to shake the man's hand, and it was an on-duty, in-uniform, California Highway Patrol officer that shook my hand.
In New Hampshire, when you're at the anti-gun events, they still say things like, "Well, we support guns, but," you know, then, you know, they follow it with, "Well, we ought to restrict this kind of gun," or they want to take baby steps towards.
Sure.
You don't hear them, most of them, saying, "Get rid of the Second Amendment," as apparently one of the former Supreme Court justices wrote an article, which we're probably not going to have time to talk about tonight, but is in the news, and I did bookmark it. About why the Second Amendment should be completely abolished. You're going to find talk like that in California and in, you know, Chicago or wherever.
Strategically, that's the only thing that makes sense for getting rid of guns. And I think that you could probably get most
what,
people...
What, baby steps, you mean?
Getting rid of the Second Amendment. You need to strike the root. ARs and all this other stuff, to me, my reading of it, that's not a constitutional. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So therefore, you need to get the American public, because it's going to have to take a large percentage of people to undo the Constitution, and you need to find out which people do they not want to see have guns. And I'm pretty sure you can get most Americans to say schizophrenic, drug-addled 12-year-olds should not have AR-15s.
So the Twitch chat. Chatters.
There is a genuine selfish argument for making the world a better place. In a positive sum world, the more people are well off, the better your own life is. This is because of the nature of innovation. It is fundamentally driven by supply and demand.
Have you ever noticed that anybody with an English accent, Americans will just think is intelligent? I don't care.
Yeah, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Coal mining Liverpudlian out there, and as long as he's got an English accent, you could just
Cockney doesn't have the same refined sound to it.
Hello, hey. Governor. Hey, what are you say?
Yeah, but you'll still get voiceover work.
No doubt, but you don't voice over this kind of stuff.
Supply and demand, eh?
It would be funny to hear the Cockney version of it. Let's go on.
Increases when more people have the freedom and education to contribute. They become
invested. Put a chav on here. Do chavs speak Cockney or do they have their own dialect?
Nobody speaks Cockney. It's a made-up accent at this point. Come on.
Researchers.
I mean, it's like somebody going around, meh, I'll get you a copper. Meh, meh. I mean, it's that old.
Really? Nobody in the UK speaks Cockney.
They do, but they've made it up at this point because Americans talk about Cockney accents.
Really? I don't know.
Does anybody talk like, bish, I'll get you a copper. You would kill you dirty rat. Does anybody talk like that?
Imagine instead of 1 billion people being able to pay for a cure for cancer, there were 4 billion or 7 billion. Imagine how far medicine could have developed if we'd invested 7 times as much in curing cancer. On top of that, there's so much human potential being wasted right now. The work of a poor farmer in a developing nation is not useful to you, but if he becomes better off, his children might spend their time in university developing things that are useful to you. Instead of having some hotspots of innovation in the developed world, we would have many hotspots all over the world.
Right, which would mean more competition for innovation and more advancement sooner rather than later.
Right, so also you
for
need
the whole
to
world.
This sort of great man concept here is as the as the economy gets more and more intelligent and fractured, you will then have more and more opportunities for brilliant people. Let's use the term Albert Einstein just for the there'll be these Einsteins within their field that will then catapult their field forward. Statistically, if you have 7 billion people, you're going to have X amount of Einsteins. If you have 14 billion people, you'll have twice as many Einsteins.
When I want liberty for myself, it's because I want liberty for myself that I want liberty for others.
Exactly.
I have found out, I've realized that the only way that anybody can have liberty is with everybody having liberty. Because otherwise, you have one group that has power over other groups, and that's not the way to get liberty.
I totally agree. I mean, it's absolutely true that in order to be free for yourself, you have to come to the understanding of allowing others to be free. That's really the key to it all, because as long as you still want to see somebody being controlled, then that's going to manifest into controls over all kinds of people, including you eventually. And that includes the people who are in power. So the people who, you know, they got control of the government, let's call them the Republicans here in the United States at the moment, they might be acting as though it's their big day and, you know, they can set all the laws and, of course, they can't exactly get away with everything they want. But, you know, they can definitely go in a direction that they want to. Eventually, the pendulum is going to swing in a different direction. Somebody else is going to get in control of those very same reins of power, and they're going to use those reins against you.
They're going to use the same tactics that were used by the one party in power, and now they're going to do it against you. This is what's happened over and over again. I shudder to think how horrifying the next president will be.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.